Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Before we start in chapter 21, I invite you to just listen the last verse in chapter 20. Because we start this series with this verse, and we finish with this verse too, because it's a verse who put all book of John together. Chapter 20, verse 30. Jesus did many other miracles, signs, in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is what we're all about. Jesus never gives up on us. Jesus never gives up on me. Today I think everybody, or at least most of you, have already breakfast. I want to invite you to have a breakfast with Jesus. And maybe you will feel very good today. Maybe you will feel very strong in your faith. I say, come, have a breakfast with Jesus. Maybe you are here different. Maybe you feel very down. Maybe you feel ashamed. Maybe when you look back for your life, for your spiritual life, you just think, I just do everything wrong. I do not deserve. Do you know? I invite you to come and have a breakfast with Jesus. Jesus is calling you this morning. I remember that long time ago, I heard a preacher telling a story. And he said that when Jesus came to heaven, the angels was there. Everybody was waiting for Jesus. And they did a great celebration. So it was a party. If it was a Brazilian, it was a big party. Okay? But the angel was there. And everybody say, well done, my Lord. One angel came close to Jesus and said, but Lord, can I make one question? And Jesus said, yes, of course. Go ahead. And the angel asked, what will happen if your disciples fail? Lord, do you have a plan B? So Jesus looked to him and said, there is no, not plan B. This is my plan. When I look for John chapter 21, I see Jesus make sure that he will not let anything lose or missing. The work of the cross was perfect. On the cross, Jesus said, it's finished, it's done, I pay everything. After resurrection, Jesus is still spending 40 days among us. 40 days. Talk with people, teaching his disciples. The Holy Spirit was to come and help the disciples to be the testimony, to help to the disciples share the gospel, go everywhere, preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit was to come, giving them power to continue the ministry of Jesus. But Jesus still need to work to restore the disciples' faith, convictions, and emotions. When we read this chapter, it's almost natural we look for the conversation between Peter and Jesus. So strong. But you know, the true thing is, if you look for whole chapter 21, if I have to describe or give one word for this chapter, I can use the restoration. Because Jesus is not only restoring Peter. He has restored all disciples together. When you can, we can see, or we can divide this chapter in two scenes. The first one, Jesus is restored the disciples' faith, verse 1 to verse 14. So you can follow me in your Bible. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciple did not realize that was Jesus. He called out to them, "Now it's good you stop here," and I invite you to imagine the scene. The boat was 90 meters from the shore. Okay? So you have to get the perspective. So it was like maybe the disciple, Jesus was here on the shore, and maybe the disciple was close to the China restaurant here, I don't know, 90 meters. So Jesus really, when say he called out to them, he said, "Friends, haven't any fish?" So, and they answer back, "No, no fish, zero." So Jesus said, "Throw your net on the right side." This is what's happened. Don't think this way. No, it's 90 meters. Okay? And I think they don't have microphones. So. "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you find some." When they did, they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciple followed in the boat, towing the net full of the fish. For they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Of course, Simon Peter just ran away to pick up the fish. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. It was almost time to Jesus come back to heaven. And Jesus knew that his disciples needed a renewal of their faith and convictions. You need to remember what the disciples did when Jesus was arrested. They ran away. They let Jesus alone.
They gave up. You need to remember that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. I don't know him. So what do you think was in the heart of the disciples? When I read that chapter and I try to imagine what was in their heart, only one thing is, maybe this is not for me. I cannot do it. Be a disciple is too hard. I failed Jesus one time. I don't want to go again. Because maybe I'll fail again. To restore the disciples' faith and convictions, Jesus did 2 things. First, Jesus replicates the beginning of their calling. This is what's happened. Do you remember the words? When it said, hey, throw the net for the right side. And they get many fish. Do you remember something? This happened before. When Jesus called them for the first time. It's worth to read Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to verse 10. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listened to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats. The one belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus replicates the moment they were called to the ministry. It is as if Jesus was saying again to them, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. It's a new beginning. Jesus helped them to revive this fresh experience when they saw Jesus. And they say, we start fresh from now. The second thing Jesus did was that Jesus replicated his last moment with them before the cross. The Last Supper, Matthew 26:26-29. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink for this fruit of the vine from now on until the day I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus was so lovely that gave to them the two most important events in their lives. The moment when they were called to the ministry. And the Last Supper. The last time they had with Jesus. Two things. Now Jesus is reaffirming the disciples that this was the plan from the beginning. I came to die. I came to suffer. I came to pay the price. Don't be afraid. In the Last Supper with the disciples, Jesus used the bread and wine to represent his body and blood, a symbol that represents his sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is bringing back two important moments in their lives to give a new start to them. And now, Jesus changed from all disciples. Now, he looked to Peter. The second scene here, Jesus is restoring Peter's faith. Verse 15 to 19. Just follow me. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you want. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." First, Jesus restores Peter's convictions. Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. But here we have two different words for love. In English, we use love. In Portuguese, we use amor. But in Greek, it's two different words that Jesus used here. So the first time and the second time, when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" Jesus used the word agape. At least it's with Portuguese accent, is agape. And Peter answered. So just imagine this scene. They are sitting together. And they finish eating. Jesus did not call Peter aside. Was in front of everybody. Was the first time I noticed that. Was this week. Because for me, I think, all the time I think was a private conversation between Jesus and Peter. But was like they were around and imagine the situation for Peter. "Peter, do you love me, agape, a sacrificial love, more than this?" And do you know why Jesus did that? Because not so long time ago, when was in a meal, and Jesus said, "We have a traitor here." Peter, everyone here can betray you, but not me. So Jesus gave the same opportunity to him and say, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter's answer was, "Lord, I love you." But he used a different word, not agape. He used the word phileo. It's a brotherly love. It's affection. We can say maybe it's a different kind of love. So Peter knew what he went through. Was not that Peter to say, "Lord, I think if Jesus was asking him in the first time, Peter would say, I agapao you." But now he said, "I love you." A human love. A brother love. Imagine to Peter. And he looked again now, not only with, and he said, "Feed my lamb." And the second time he said, only for Peter now. He forget everybody and look at Peter. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Use agape again. And Peter, "Lord, I feel I love you." A normal, a brotherly life. Not that one. In Jesus, the third time, say, "Peter, do you love me as a friend?" He used phileo now. So Jesus asked the first time agape, the second time agape, but the third time Jesus said, "You love me as a friend, even as a friend, that level." And Peter feel hurt. And he just said, "God, you know everything. I cannot say anything. I love you. And you know what is in my heart. You know my limitations. You know what I am. I love you." Each time Peter responded with the word phileo. Peter had to face his true feelings and motives when Jesus confronted him. How do you respond today if Jesus asks you, "Do you love me? Are you even my friend?" Jesus restores Peter's positions. Jesus led Peter through an experience that would remove the cloud of his denial. Remember, many doubts in Peter's heart. He was hurt. He was afraid. But Peter had denied Jesus three times. So Jesus gave to Peter three times again the opportunity to say that he loves Jesus. When Peter answered yes for three times, Jesus told him every time, "Feed my lamb, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. I give you back your position. I restore you. I can see your heart." How can we finish this chapter for us? We need to remember there is no plan B. This is the plan of God. God chose you and me to spread the gospel and the kingdom of God on all earth. They caught 153 large fish. Why 153? Why not 150? Why not 100? I discover, I don't know if it's true, I could not count, that at the time, at the lake, there was exactly 153 kinds of fishes in the Sea of Galilee. So, what this means is that God, you give us every people group of this earth to worship Him. Everybody, all fishes, and not the small fish, the big fish will come to worship the Lord. Jesus never gives up on us. He's always worked to strengthen and restore your faith. Do you know? Because you are part of plan A, the only one He has. It doesn't matter how you feel today. You feel sad. You feel that almost you give up. You fail. Jesus is always with open arm to say, come and I restore you. Because I choose you. I choose you. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of me because I die for you. And come. Don't stay in the same place. You need change. But you can change only through Jesus. And every day, Jesus is sitting on the shore. And every day, Jesus is inviting us. Come and have a breakfast with me. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. You know our hearts. You know our limitations. Even the love we have in our hearts comes from you, Lord. We need you. And I ask you that everyone here can be touched by the power of your word, for the power of your grace, for the power of your love, that you always with open arms to receive us back. Like was the disciples, like was Peter's, it's me and everyone here. We need restoration. Restoration of our faith, sometimes restoration of our convictions, sometimes restoration of our emotions. And we need you. Thank you, Lord, because you never give up on us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.